Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
There are a lot of religious people today who are kind of deluded into thinking that they're doing right in what they're trying to offer God when they've never really considered what it is God wants them to offer. What is it God wants? If I tell my kids, I want you to clean your room, but they don't clean their room. They do some good things. Maybe he takes out the trash and does a few other things to go, I did these great things. I say, did you do what I asked you to do? And they say, well, no, I didn't do that, but I did these.
Today, Pastor Troy will remind you that there are many religious people who call themselves religious because they do good things, even though they don't ascribe themselves to any particular religion. This way of thinking causes people to offer things to God, but because they aren't listening to God, they aren't offering what God would want them to offer. Offerings require sacrifice. So if your offering is convenient, like that of Cain's in Genesis, it may not be accepted as there's no true sacrifice. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 11 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Let's turn in our scriptures, the Word of God, which is perfect, and find out what God wants to say to us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. In verse 4, we're going to contrast two brothers. One was a true worshiper. The other was not. In the case of the two brothers, they both believed in God. That's why they went and worshiped. In fact, they were very close to the creation, because their parents were Adam and Eve. So there weren't questions of atheism or who created the world. None of that existed for these boys. But there was something about their offering that made them different. And that's what we want to talk about, an acceptable faith. Abel was accepted. Cain was not. Why? Well, the context is faith, right? We're in the chapter about faith, and then they're giving these examples of those who lived by faith and what it means and what it looks like. They're witnesses for us. Not witnesses in the sense that they watch us, but witnesses in the sense that these normal individuals, some with shady backgrounds, they could walk by faith. And these things would happen in their life, so you can too. They're a witness to that. But Abel's was accepted because he worshiped by faith. But Cain worshiped his own way. Verse 1 through 3 sort of described faith. And now we begin to look at the lives of those who lived by faith, which is why we are slowing down. I never wanted to be one of those pastors who you never really learned the Bible from, because we spent a year on two words. But we are going to slow down because we want to look at these individuals and kind of expand their life a little bit and see that what we can grasp from it, since they were important enough to list in what we call the Hall of Fame of Faith. Ordinary men and women who God used their lives, and He still speaks through their lives today. So, as we look at Abel's faith, we see that it produces a few things: an acceptable sacrifice, an admirable witness, and an enduring legacy. So verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, he's speaking of the sacrifice itself, not the heart, although that's part of the package, as we'll discover. But he's speaking of that which was sacrificed and offered. His was more acceptable, and we'll talk about why. So the first thing we want to talk about is an acceptable sacrifice. Let's get the whole story. And there's not much to it. Not much is said of him. But in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, it says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, 'I have acquired a man from the Lord.' Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.' Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' He said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' And he said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth.'" Both Cain and Abel were born after the fall, outside of the Garden of Eden, under the curse of sin. So they lived in the world that we live in, the cursed world. Despite all that, being born to the parents who were right there in the garden, these two turned out different. The parents were to pass on their faith, but these two turned out very different. It would seem that both of these individuals had an understanding of what offering was required. And when? It says, in the process of time. And that phrase means that there was an appointed time, at the end of days, or at an appointed time. So they have an understanding of, I'm approaching. They're both approaching. So they understand there's some regulations or something that God has required of them. At the fall, Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves or with leaves. And they covered themselves, and they expected that this would hide their fallen nature or their nakedness. But God did not accept that covering for them. Instead, he covered them with, it says, the skins of animals. Now, the only place you can get a skin of an animal is from an animal. So something had to be killed. Something had to have its blood shed in order to get the skins. If it never was on an animal, it's not the skin of an animal. So, something died, blood was shed, and sin, nakedness, was covered. Either God told Cain and Abel what the acceptable covering was or the acceptable offering was, or it was passed down from their parents. Either way, they did have an understanding of what they should bring and even when. Now, as New Testament believers, we already can look back and see that all of the sacrifice, everything that was established, always pointed to Christ. At first, it was one animal for one person, right? One skin clothed a person. Then at the Passover, God expanded that idea a little bit. And at the Passover, it was one animal for a whole household. That was what was required. Later on the Day of Atonement, it was one animal for a whole nation. And at the cross, it was one sacrifice, one lamb for the whole world. But it's always been through sacrifice, through the shed blood of an innocent animal, that sin was atoned for. Never through any kind of other offering, ever. We do offer other things. God asked his people, offer these things, but it was not to atone for sin. It was to say, I trust God. God is the one. You want to be blessed, then offer your offerings to me. I'm the one who gave them. And so when they gave their grain offerings, that didn't atone for sin. That didn't make them acceptable. That just said, I trust you, now I'm blessable. But it didn't make them acceptable. It's always been on the basis of shed blood that one was made right, righteous, or acceptable to God, always from the very beginning. Jude tells us to avoid the way of Cain. It was a big deal. Why? What is the way of Cain? Well, we know that it's a religious approach. They both brought offerings, so it has nothing to do with unbelief in the sense of atheism. That's not the way of Cain. The way of Cain is more deceptive, more subtle than that, because it is religious. In fact, Cain acknowledged God, the God his parents worshiped. What was the difference? The problem with Cain is that he believed in God, but he didn't believe God. He didn't believe him. You can tell that by the way he doesn't respect God. Who has a conversation with God that Cain had, especially in those days before Christ? Who am I, my brother's keeper? Oh, that's the way he talked to God. Obviously, there's not a lot of respect for God. And I like that word. God did not respect Cain or his offering, because Cain didn't really respect God, didn't honor him. His heart was not in the right place. As a result, it seems he didn't offer the right things or the right way. Cain disregarded anything that God may have required, and he chose to worship God on his own terms, his own way, his own offering, his own attitude toward the offering. There are a lot of religious people today who are kind of deluded into thinking that they're doing right in what they're trying to offer God, when they've never really considered what it is God wants them to offer. What is it God wants? If I tell my kids, I want you to clean your room, but they don't clean their room. They do some good things. Maybe he takes out the trash and does a few other things to go, I did these great things. I say, did you do what I asked you to do? And they say, well, no, I didn't do that, but I did these. I would not feel respected at all. I wouldn't feel honored, and they would not be obedient. Yeah, those are good things, things I may have asked them to do and wanted them to do at one time, but they did not respect or honor me. And that defeats all the other good that they tried to do. Because it was a matter of, well, the Lord says, I desire obedience, not works, not sacrifice in that sense.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching, and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. There has to be an understanding of who God is, what he wants, what he's asking us to do, because if we don't know that, we can't walk by faith. Blind faith, maybe, but not faith in him. Solomon said, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. See, the things that we do impact others. And if we don't do things the way God asks us to do them, how, when, what type, all that he leads us to do, we may be okay, and others that we see, other adults may be fine around us, but maybe our kids are impacted. Oh, okay, so that's how you treat God, or that's how you treat church, or that's how you treat things. You act this way, but you do that. Oh, I see. And they're watching. There's an impact. It's a way that seems right, seems okay, but it actually leads to death. It destroys people who are watching and trying to learn. The way of Cain is a religious approach, but it's approach on our own terms, our own way. I'll do it my way. People have a way of carving out for themselves a path that they think is right for them. They'll say, yeah, it's good for me. It's not good for you, but it's good for me. That would fit into the way of Cain. Because what matters is it what God wants? It's as if they're trying to broaden the path that Jesus said was narrow. Follow me. Tom Cruise did an interview with Barbara Walters many years back when Tom Cruise was much younger, but he was getting into Scientology. And Barbara Walters asked about his new faith or religion and asked about Scientology. And he goes, well, you know, I have dyslexia, and getting involved, it made me clear and helped my mind to clear up, and it just kind of helped me with that. And so I owe a lot to them. I really appreciate it. She goes, yes, but what about your spiritual nature, or what about the spiritual side? Is it a religion for you? And he goes, yes, it is. But it's not someone feeding me stuff that I have to know or someone I have to follow. Basically, you find your own way. You find your own way. That is the essence of the way of Cain. Your way. We've got songs about that, you know. I did it my way. Oh, we're so proud of that. I did this. Nate did this. Nate tried to convince me, but I did it my way. Because in the end, it's going to be, did you do it my way? God's way. Did you follow me? Did you really follow me? A lot of people complain that Christianity is too narrow. I've heard it. I've shared the gospel with some, and it always goes back to Christ, Jesus. But do you follow him? I don't care the good things. Do you trust him? Do you know him? Do you know what he did? And they'll say, well, you're too narrow-minded. Open up, listen, think about all these other things, all these other good people, all these other religions out there that are doing good things. And they're wrong about me when they say I'm narrow-minded. The truth is I'm closed-minded. No, let me explain. I'm closed-minded to anything that doesn't fit into something I know is true. Because if you know something is true, it'd be like you saying to me, I don't know you all that well, and you say, no, what if your name's not Troy? It's philosophy, you know. Your name's not really Troy, and you're not really there. Think about it. I feel like I'm here. Yeah, but we're all just whatever these things are floating around, and you're just not really here. And they give me some weird philosophy. I could go, I'm open to that. Yeah, I like that. Because Troy, I could call myself anything, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're not Troy. So then I can call myself anything. At that point, I can do anything I want to because there's no moral code, no moral conduct, no standard to live by. And they're just a thing too. They're just an essence or something. It's not murder if it's an essence. I can do whatever I want to. We get on weird ground when we lose our center on who we are, who God is, the truth. Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. The idea was you guys are getting all whacked out, you're lost, and you need somebody to show you the way, show you who you are, show you what's right and wrong, where you need to be going. And so I have come to do that. Pilate said basically what many might say today, what is truth? My truth, your truth, someone else's truth, got my own. No, there's something called truth. It's true. Finding your own way, that's the way of Cain. Your own truth, your own approach, your own offering, whatever you want to do, whatever makes you feel good, whatever you feel is right. That's the way of Cain. But those who want to really follow the Lord and want to be pleasing to him, want to find out what is pleasing to him. Think about it. We do it with people. If you just impose a gift on somebody and you don't know them all that well. Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank you. They obviously don't know me. You know, they've given me this, whatever it is, I can't even figure it out. But when you want to please someone, you always find out or learn what they like. Well, when we follow the Lord, we don't just find our way. We follow Him. That's why Jesus said, follow me. If you don't pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, you have no part of me. You don't find your own way. He came to bear witness to the truth. There's a time to be open. Now, let me just say, there is a time to have an open mind because there's some things we learn that they're not true. They're just things we've been told maybe our whole life. They're not true. There's nothing that substantiated that thing that we've learned. Prejudice happens that way. You grow up, someone will grow up in a certain home and they're taught, well, these kinds of people are all like that, or these kinds of, and you learn biases and prejudices. So you do need to be open because when you see something that contradicts, you want to go, huh, wow, okay, whoa, I need to open up here a little bit, find out why there's a contradiction. My parents said these kinds of people are always mean or always this or that, but they're not. Therefore, that what they said is no longer valid. So in that sense, we do need to grow and expand and have an open mind. But once you know truth, having an open mind will only confuse you. You can't just start expanding and going, well, you know, it could. Jesus said he's the only way, but man, these are really nice people. And I just can't see, I can't fathom in my mind how they could go to hell. So I've got to come up with another solution. And that is maybe they'll be acceptable too. You can't do that because it's not true. It's your reasoning, it's your understanding. Maybe you're a merciful kind of a person. Some are very merciful. And there's that gift of mercy that people have. And one of the flaws in that gift is mercy is given too liberally, without caution, without truth. But there's a time to have an open mind. There's a time to not let your mind be open to anything else because what you have is the truth. If you open your mind to certain things that are not true, you will find yourself making strange decisions and you will be tossed about to and fro with every wind that sounds reasonable. Psalm 40, though, this is what God's done. Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He established my steps. He gave me that sense of direction. One of the things that happened in the garden with Satan was he distorted all of that. There was a time when what God said was right. When God directed, that's what happened. Don't touch this. We're not touching that. What do you say is good? What do you say is right? But Satan came in and said, look, go ahead and eat the fruit. You won't die. In fact, here's what will happen. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, you will be able to decide for yourself, choose your own path. You can figure out what's right and wrong on your own. We've been eating that fruit ever since, thinking we know what's right. I can figure it out. I got brains. I can put stuff together. But it's God who says what's right and wrong. It's God who establishes our path and gives us our steps. Open minds are good in some areas, but when it comes to truth, it's a detriment. It's hazardous. It's a stumbling stone.
There's so much more to learn from Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through Hebrews, but this is where we need to close for today. We hope you've been blessed and encouraged in your own walk of faith as you listen to Building on the Solid Rock today. If you have any prayer requests you'd like us to lift up to the Lord, we'd be honored to hear from you. Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about what you heard today. We'll do our best to answer. Being part of a church family is vital to your growth as a Christian. We'd like to encourage you to find and begin attending a local community of faith if you haven't already. If you're in the San Antonio area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? We meet every Sunday and Wednesday, and you'll find more information at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope you'll join us again right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.